Hi everyone, this is Kathy Marler. I'm Director of Consulting with Member Solutions. In addition to doing membership-based business consulting for the last 12 years, I've been working in or actively participating in membership-based businesses from the time I was 13 years old, and I still do today. First, I was a gymnastics coach, choreographer, and judge. Then I was a martial arts instructor and became a business owner of martial arts business. Currently, I still teach self-defense seminars. I also am a competitor in recreational figure skating as a participant and a member of our local Shapes Total Fitness for Women. So I'm in fitness centers as well. So the one thing I really noticed is that in virtually all instructional or membership-based businesses, what they all have in common is former members. Yes, teachers or coaches or business owners, at some point, we all experience attrition. And we have members that have quit taking instruction or stopped training for a variety of reasons. You may virtually have an untapped gold mine of potential past members who would love to get reacquainted with your program, whether you know it or not. You may not know it if you haven't been staying in touch with them, but consider this. It costs you far less capital to win back a past member than it does to try to attract a new one. Think about that. It costs you a lot less money to attract and win back a past member than it does to go get a new one. At one time, that past member understood the value of your services and they were happily enrolled in your program. Something changed along the way that made them decide to stop participating. So isn't it possible that something can also change again in their mindset that helps remotivate them to rejoin now? I think so. I think anything's possible. I know so. So it's a good idea, first of all, to employ a system for staying in touch with your past members on a regular basis. Now, whether you have been in touch with your past members or you haven't, today I hope this teleseminar will help give you some new ideas or some ahas as how you can improve the way that you've been interacting with your past members. Before we can focus on winning our past members back and getting them back into, you know, their workouts, we've got to take the time to understand why we lost them in the first place. So what I want to do with everyone first is go over a nice little list of what I consider to be the 12 most common reasons members quit training. Some of the main reasons, first of all, include feeling unimportant and like they're a small fish in a huge pond and go unnoticed. In other words, they feel invisible. You know, everybody likes to be recognized. One of the first things I learned through some early customer service membership business training is that, you know, you want to imagine that every single solitary one of your members, whether you have 10 members or you have 2,000 members, has a sign on their forehead that says, "Make me feel important." And every time you see someone, it's so important to greet them at the front desk or say hi to them when they come in, or if you're giving them instruction in a class, to look them in the eye, smile when you give your corrections, and make sure they're all getting feedback so they know that they are important and that they would be missed if they're not there. So you got to make sure that everybody feels important, like they belong. Another reason some people stop training is that they really didn't have any relationships or friendships with the other members or the students. They weren't strong enough, if they did have relationships, that made them want to continue no matter what. You know, think of this. If someone's been at work the entire day, they're really, really tired. You know, they are the kind of person that tends to skip their training or their workouts or their lessons, you know, is tempted to call in. If they know that there's two or three people that are going to totally miss them in that class or are going to say, "Hey, where were you in that, you know, workout class today? You know, I thought you were coming today. We were looking forward to seeing you." They are going to be a lot more apt to attend that class. You know, you need to help them develop a strong sense of community in your program, whether you're teaching music, art, dance, gymnastics, martial arts, run a fitness center, doesn't matter what it is, but you want to build a sense of community and have people, again, feel like they belong. A third reason out of the 12 that some people quit is really because there's no support system. Now, they don't specifically quit because, "Hey, I found out you don't have a support system and I found out you're not going to check up on me from time to time." But they quit because they're not getting courtesy calls to see how it's going. And you don't know when the first time was that they started thinking in their head, "You know, I don't, you know, really feel that motivated, or I don't feel like I'm getting my money's worth, or, you know, money's getting kind of tight, new TV or, you know, fitness, you know, maybe I'm going to, you know, change my mind because, you know, again, people get distracted, they lose motivation, and if we don't stay in touch with them or have a support system in place where we're checking in, hey, how's your training going, how are your lessons, you know, how do you feel about your progress, and be able to nip things in the bud as they come about, then it's really, really difficult to not lose those people in the long run. So a lack of a support system in your business can also, you know, be a reason people quit. Another one, the fourth one, is indifference with other members or staff. Now, you may have had a situation where one member didn't get along with another, or they didn't want to partner up with someone in a class, or they just, there's just somebody on the premises that made them feel uncomfortable. I've heard all kinds of stories through the years, and I've seen it in every membership-based business I've been in. A lot of times people will not tell you this, so it's really important as staff and instructors or teachers that we watch body language, because you can tell most people don't hide it when they don't like somebody else. You will see as their approach, you know, their shoulder slouch, they lose eye contact, they look like, oh my God, don't come this way. you know, or if somebody, you know, maybe doesn't have the best hygiene, sometimes it's like, oh, don't make me hold those feet, you know, they stink. That might sound silly, but it's completely true. They can have indifference with other members and not want to be around them. So it's important to watch for that and to try to, oh, hey, have you met so-and-so? Let's come over here. Or, oh, there's an odd number. Let me grab my other instructor. Hey, will you work with Sam tonight? It's important to be aware of those things. Staff. I mean, sometimes, you know, people can be indifferent to one of your staff members if you're big enough to have a staff. It's important, you know, once again, that body language is watched. And sometimes, you know, it may not need to be watched by that other instructor. Somebody else on staff might be overseeing a class or a workout or what's going on. And just kind of look and look at what people's body language looks out. Are they smiling? Are they having a good time? You know, when they interact with your staff members. Okay, so that's the fourth one. The fifth one, injuries. We all work really hard, I'm sure, to avoid injuries in our facilities because, you know, just obviously if they're injured, they're not going to be able to train appropriately in many cases. There are lawsuits, you know, and it's just not good for business or your classes. So some people do get injured from time to time. And the way you handle that injury can be super important. I'm not going to get into the legalities of it, but let's just say if somebody is injured, it's a great idea to check up on them, see how they're doing, check in, rather than just leaving them alone and waiting for them to come back. They may not, and you may be surprised when they do. So keep that in mind. Another reason some people quit is boredom or a perceived lack of progress. You know, and again, it's pretty easy if you don't feel important, if classes aren't high energy or the staff, you know, if I'm at a fitness center, if the staff isn't high energy and I come in after I've worked all day, I know it's a little bit harder for me to get pumped up and motivated to go. So you don't want them bored. You know, if you're working with them on a workout routine, it should change up all the time. If you're teaching class, you know, you've got to be a master at disguising repetition to keep people's interest. Not everyone's going to be as dead set and interested at working one technique over and over again for month after month, probably like some of us are. You know, we're just a different type. But boredom or perceiving they don't feel progress, they may be down on themselves, so we give them a couple criticisms, it makes it much worse. So sometimes we have to come around and remind them of how far they've come. Remember when, or is a great way to start a conversation, remember when you couldn't even lift 10 pounds. Or remember when you were huffing and puffing 5 minutes into kickboxing class. Remember when you couldn't, I thought you were tone deaf when you came to our music school. Look how far you've come. So sometimes you need to point those things out because people do quit because of boredom or perceiving a lack of progress. Another reason people may decide to quit is the perception that they need to learn more faster than they think you need, faster than you're teaching them. And I just sort of touch base on that. That kind of ties in with boredom sometimes. But sometimes people perceive that they're better than they are, or that they need to have more. They need more and more and more without mastering what they have. And it's hard to change that perception unless you shift them into that thought gradually. So, you know, when that happens, it's very good to sit down and re-explain why classes are run the way they're run, or why you recommend they stick with this workout program, or why they need to repeat the scales, you know, in music, why they need to, you know, practice these basics before they get to move on. And, you know, with a child, it's a little bit harder. Adults, it's easier to rationalize. With a child, you're going to need to make sure that the child understands that and the parent. Another reason people may discontinue training is inconvenient hours or a class schedule. From time to time, they may have things that change in their life, obviously, work schedules, play schedules. Maybe now they've advanced to a different class level and they didn't anticipate that, so they really can't make those classes. So sometimes class schedule and hours can weigh in whether or not they need to quit. Another reason is the class curriculum is too hard or too easy. Again, if it's too easy, they get bored. If it's too hard, they can tend to get discouraged. And this also still ties back in with watching people's body language. I know as instructors and business owners and teachers and coaches, we're not mind readers. But, you know, you can look for the obvious signs. So, you know, if you see somebody looking disgusted, you know, you might want to touch base with them. Or if they're huffing and puffing, just rolling their eyes a little bit, or they just have that bored look, you might just check in with them, have a quick chat. Hey, is everything okay? What do you think of your classes? You know, what do you think of your progress? Did you like what we're doing? What do you wish we do that we don't do? You know, just touch base with them so you can kind of gauge where their head is at. Another reason why people may discontinue training is that they want to try something else. And once again, everything kind of ties in with boredom. They want to try something else. They don't feel a lack of progress. Maybe they're not seeing the value, but that's what they'll tell you. Well, we just want to try something else. They're being a little bit polite about not telling you the real reason why they want to try something else. Another reason, the 11th reason, is they may not be able to legitimately afford the membership dues or the lessons. And it may be valid if they just recently lost their job, like unfortunately a lot of people have, then they may just have less cash coming in and they really might not be able to afford it. But I think you also have to understand that some people will just say that to get you off their back so that, you know, they don't have to tell you the real reason. So that is one reason. Could be valid, maybe not, you know. It's up to you what you do with that. It's up to you if you want to try to let them, you know, work something out with them where, hey, we can put your membership on hold for a couple months, or, hey, would it help you if we could reduce the, you know, cut it in half for you and you just pay us back later? You know, what would help? And if you want to do that, that's entirely up to you. And then the 12th reason, of the most common reasons people might discontinue is because they're required to attend more than they're willing to. Maybe they've advanced into a different level, and now instead of coming two times a week, maybe you're asking them to come three or four times a week, and they didn't anticipate that, and they just don't have room in their schedules. So that's something to think about, too. Sometimes, you know, we're asking them, or we're sort of switching the rules up on them, and if we don't communicate at the very beginning of our relationship that this is what's going to be happening later on when you're at this level, you will be asked to come more often, or you will need to train three times a week to get these results, then that can cause issues. So anyway, those are the top 12 reasons why people discontinue their training. Now, once you have an idea why most members quit, then you can create your retention system or your rejoin system to win them back. And of course, you know, obviously it's better to be proactive and keep them from wanting to quit in the first place, but we have to start somewhere. So let's assume we all have some quick strategies that we want to put into place. First, you've got to get your past members to tell you really why they quit. If you don't know and you're just speculating, you know, then you can be barking up the wrong tree and wasting a lot of energy trying to win them back. So a few people will be honest, just straight out up front when you ask them, and will tell you like it is. However, most of them, it's been my experience that if they do give you a reason, they're going to either sugarcoat it and tell you something like, oh, you know, I just don't have time right now, because they want to avoid preconceived conflict, or just avoid conflict overall. Or they might really like you anyway and just want to spare your feelings, and they feel like, you know, it's not nice for them just to straight out tell you. A lot of people are not very direct and to the point. So a few are going to be honest, but you're going to have to dig and do some work to get out the real reasons from your people that have just recently quit. And again, you know, don't accept if they just say, well, you know, we just thought he'd try something else. that's probably not it. You know, it's a good idea to ask questions like, oh, well, what did you like about the classes? You know, what didn't you like? You know, was the class time convenient? Is there something that we did that turned you off? I mean, you know, but using obviously a non-confrontational tone will get you a lot further. So to get the information, I mean, basically you need to bring their guard down. Consider calling them, sending an email, giving them a survey to complete that's just about 4 or 5 questions, or do a combination of all three of those to gain information so that you can try to resolve their issues and get them to rejoin your program. If you choose a call or an email to start with, you've got to make sure that you, if you're the person who's contacting them, or your staff member is not feeling defensive and isn't the type that can't take honest feedback. You know, if you feel like you're going to take it personally, if they tell you the truth and they say, hey, you know what, hate your program, it stunk, wasn't what you said it was, couldn't stand it, didn't want to be there. If you, if you're not feeling like you can take that, you know, openly without being defensive, and it's not easy, then it's not the right time to make that phone call, or you're not the right person to do that. So you want to kind of, you know, you want feedback, you want to improve, you want to make sure your program is as great as you think it is and you know it is. You want to make sure everybody else is perceiving it to be that way too. So you've got to keep your guard down yourself and not be defensive, because if you ask, some people will tell. So mentally prepared. When you do make a phone call, watch your tone of voice. This is really key. They can't see your face through the phone, but they can hear your voice and hear what you're thinking. So again, you've got to be very careful with your tone of voice. It's got to be very non-threatening, very conversational, like you're talking to a friend, or they're going to avoid you like the plague and not be 100% sincere and honest in giving you the truth. They might clam up on you. What I want to do is, I know the first time I made one of those calls to somebody who had quit, myself in my own martial arts business at the time, it would have been helpful if I had a little bit better of an idea of what to say. So I'm just going to give you a brief example of how a conversation might go. I thought that might be helpful to everybody listening. You know, it might just go something like this. You know, hey, Mr. Smith. Hi, this is Kathy Marler. I'm calling from USA Karate. How are you? Hey, I just wanted to give you a friendly call to let you know that we're very sorry you decided to stop attending our classes, but I wondered if you could help us. And I'm going to let him answer, and hopefully he'll say, now he's totally confused because I'm being, you know, I want his help, right? So hopefully he'll say, yeah, sure. Okay, well, you know, we're always teaching our students to strive to improve, and of course, you know, we ourselves want to improve our program, so I wondered if you could give us some honest feedback and let us know why you stopped training. You know, was there something you didn't like about our program, or what was it? And at that point, I'm just going to be quiet and let them respond. Now, hopefully, and actually in real life, I'd probably talk a little bit slower. I get excited when I do consulting, when I do teleseminars, I do talk a little faster than I normally would. But you know, non-threatening tone, very conversational, you know, hey, can you help us out? Love some feedback. And I'm hoping to open the door, so if there was a serious problem, I want him to tell me too. So depending on their answer, I might ask more questions. You know, if they gave me a solvable reason that I thought I could take care of, then, you know, I might say something like, let's just say Mr. Smith said, you know, I stopped training because one of your instructors snapped at me the other day in class when I was doing my best. You know, I bust my butt to make it to your class on time after working all day. This used to be my positive escape. And you know what? I'm not paying for people to be rude to me. Okay, so if he tells me that, that gave me a lot of feedback really fast, right? So, you know, this is really interesting because the example I used really did happen to me when I was running my business. So, you know, my response to something like that would be to validate what he said, first of all, and apologize, you know, because I don't want him on the defensive, and wow, if I didn't know that happened, shame on me, right? So my response would be something like, you know, wow, I didn't realize that happened to you, and I appreciate you letting me know that. If I were you, I'd probably feel the same way. And, you know, I really apologize, and I'll most certainly speak to the instructor to make sure that doesn't happen to anybody else. You know, our goal is to empower our students and use positive reinforcement. You know, and I really don't want you to miss out on all the benefits of training just because of this incident. You know, when you joined, you had told me you wanted to relieve stress after a hard day's work, and you've come such a long way with your lessons. If I could guarantee that you wouldn't be treated that way again, would you consider coming back? You know, so what I did there in that paragraph, you know, I just spat it off to you, is I would have already had his original enrollment form in front of me, and I would have already reviewed why he said he wanted to train in the school, what his learning objectives were. And this poor guy in particular wanted it for stress relief. So what happened to him? He came in, one of my instructors snapped at him because he was having a bad day, which shouldn't happen if you're an instructor. You can't do that. And he went off. I mean, it just triggered him, and he's, you know, busting his butt to get there on time, as he put it, right? And he's been working all day. He's looking forward to his positive escape and just to train and take out some energy. And, you know, and then he felt somebody was rude to him. So I used that, again, stress relief after a hard day's work, because that is one of the things he wanted to get. So I asked him, you know, hey, would you consider coming back? And from there, you know what? Just depends how the conversation goes. In this particular case, this person did return to class, but he refused to go to the other instructor's class. He would only go to my classes that I taught, which was fine. I was happy to get him back. So, you know, I investigated. I talked to my instructor. He was having a bad day, but I cautioned him, you can't take it out on members. And, you know, hey, we all have to remember, good moods are contagious, but unfortunately so are bad ones. And, you know, our staff, ourselves, we always have to be up 100% of the time when we're out working with people. So it was a good learning experience for us. But anyway, I hope that little quick script gave you an idea of how to open the door and make such a call. And I picked my Mr. Smith example because that didn't go as smoothly as I hoped it would have. I had no idea that was the reason why he discontinued training, and it was like a shock. And it shouldn't have been, but it was. Okay. You know, a quick tip, if you are about to make this type of a rejoin call and it's your first one, I recommend that when you look at your list of members that you're going to call, try to pick one that you suspect will be nice to you and that did not make a huge dramatic exit. I'm not saying that you should never call those types of ex-members unless you don't want them back. But when you're doing something new that's a little out of your comfort zone, like making calls to people who have quit and asking for honest feedback, it's best to try to have a positive experience when you first start. So it would be easiest to pick the people that you suspect would be easiest, you know, to get them to come back or invite to a special event, or that you're pretty confident are not going to bite you the first time you make the call. And most people won't. Even if, you know, it's been my experience that, you know, if somebody quit a couple months ago, even if they weren't very nice at the very end, usually they're really happy to hear my voice. And, you know, or at least nice. Or if I get a voicemail, that's okay by me too. I'd be happy to leave them a nice uppity message and tell them what's going on and how I'd love them to give me a call back and check in with me just to stay in touch. Because, you know, again, they may be interested in coming back, and now I've just opened the door for them to make it easy. Okay, another thing you can do to help get members to rejoin is to write an email. So you can pretty much lead in your email the same way as we started the phone conversation. In addition to it, you might want to include a brief paragraph about all the new exciting happenings and things that are going on in your business or in the school. You know, that's one of the things you want to just, you know, to help entice them. You know, if you just got all new equipment, the place is brand spanking new, there's some new things to look forward to, you added new instructors, you added new courses, you've got new, you know, tell them about it. Tell them why it's really an exciting time to be involved in your programs. And then, you know, invite them back. It's best, you know, to do that just to, you know, hey, you know, make it more interesting for them and give them a reason to continue to read your email. At the end of the email, consider offering something for them sending feedback to you, since you're going to be asking them, you know, why they discontinued training and was it something that, you know, what happened. You know, that'll up the chance that they may return to training, but also that they might answer you back. So at the end of the email, it could be something as simple as, you know, hey, you know, when you send this feedback for helping us out, you know, we'd be happy to give you a free month when you come back with us, or a free month for you to give any of your family and friends at our facility as a thank you. It could be that simple. It doesn't have to really cost you anything but some services. And you might get a rejoin, or you might get a new member that you weren't counting on. So it can be a good thing. Another option is that you could send the survey, a survey to them. You could send it snail mail if you really want to. You could do it by the telephone, or you can email it. If you are using survey software, you can just email them a link to click and pop open that survey. I don't recommend that you make it more than about 4 or 5 quick questions. They should be able to complete it in about 2 or 3 minutes unless they have a lot of venting to do. Leave a few extra spaces in there just in case, you know, because you do want the feedback. That's the whole purpose. You can give them incentives for taking surveys such as the free month of lessons or training, a retail gift certificate, free private lessons. But in this case, I'd put an expiration date on the offer because you want them to take action sooner than later. And you want to follow up the survey with a phone call. Even if you get voicemail, you can still, you know, say, hey, you know, Mr. Smith, Kathy Marley with USA Karate, just want to give you a courtesy call to make sure that you received the email that I sent you. It had a survey in it of just a couple quick questions I hope you could help me with on why you stopped training with us. We really would like to know. We're always trying to improve our program. And there's a free gift in that email for you, too. So really appreciate it if you could take just a couple moments to take a peek at that, answer some quick questions, and shoot it back our way. Hope you're having a wonderful day. Thank you. Bye-bye. You know? So it's got to be just friendly, quick, boom, and it draws attention to it. If you do get someone live on the phone, there's nothing wrong with doing a quick phone survey. You could also do that. So a couple quick questions I want to give you that you could put on the rejoin survey. And you can add your own, but these are just a couple really basic ones, would be, what were your original goals or reasons for starting to take classes or work out in our program? You'll have to tweak it as is appropriate for your industry, right? So what were your original goals or reasons? You want them to think back about that because, number one, you want them to remember, oh, yeah, I said I wanted to lose weight and learn self-defense. Or, oh, yeah, I said I wanted to learn something new and everybody in my family plays piano and I want to learn, too. Or, you know, whatever the reasons are, you want them to have that fresh in their head so they can realize that, oops, if I'm not in class, I can't achieve those goals. So, you know, that's not the best thing. Another thing you could do, or another question that you could put on your survey is, do you feel that you're making progress towards your goals? That's important because you need to know where their head is at. If they're not feeling progress, who wants to continue, right? You've got to have some little successes that add up to big successes. So if they're not feeling progress, that's good to know. And then another question could straight out be, why'd you stop taking classes? All right? And hopefully they're warmed up enough to just straight out tell you. Another question could be, if we could help you with the reason that you stopped taking classes, or you could say, if we could resolve or, you know, what, you know, the challenge that you faced when you were taking classes, would you consider returning? This is a really great question because if they're, you know, kind of cooled down by now, if they were angry or if, you know, circumstances have changed or they're open-minded about you fixing something that wasn't quite right and they say yes, woo, that's a quick phone call, you know, because, hey, you know, you've got somebody who's good to go that you can probably easily get to come back to class and that's awesome. Another question could be, hey, we appreciate you taking the time to give us this honest feedback, and we'd like to offer you, and that's not really a question, but there's a special offer. You know, we appreciate, you know, we really thank you. We really appreciate that you're taking the time to give us this honest feedback. And that's where you can plug in your offer, whether it's a free month, a $100 gift certificate to your pro shop, you know, whatever it is, because this feedback is really important. Surveys can be done by email, by snail mail, by phone, or a combination of either or. Doesn't matter. What is the most important thing, obviously, is to find out why they stopped in the first place. I don't know if I can say that enough times. Just so, so key. Okay, so bottom line, find that out and try to fix it. So now let's assume that you found out the reason and you tried to right any wrongs. And for whatever reason, they are just not wanting to return to class right now or join your gym. You know, do we leave well enough alone? No, of course not. We want to continue to communicate with them on a regular basis, and we want to use multiple vehicles to do that. Some of the most popular ways people communicate with their ex-members would be email, obviously, right? Phone calls. Potentially text messages. You know, you don't want to drive them insane on their cell phone so they, you know, have a fit. But, you know, some people are very open to text messages, and a lot of people get their email on their BlackBerries and so forth. So you might consider texting a little bit. Social networking sites. If you've got a business Facebook or MySpace or Twitter or any of those, you'd like to get them to try to join your business's social networking site. And then that way you'll be right in their face all the time. And snail mail. Of course, you can mail them different things. So you're going to want to contact them at least once a month, for a variety of reasons. Let me give you a couple of examples to get you thinking. First of all, if you're having an open house, a movie night, a parents' night out, or sleepover, or any type of special event that's open to the public, or that's even just open for members only, that does not mean that you cannot invite them. You know, invite them, most definitely. Let them know about it. Keep them in the know. Give them a special invitation. If you really want to go above and beyond and you're mailing them an invitation rather than emailing, or even if you are emailing, type them something personal or write something personal. You know, write, "Hey, Jim, you know, it's been a couple months since we've seen you. Really love it if you could come out, you know, and attend our movie night. It'll be a blast. You know, RSVP, hope to see you. Let us know." You know, so that way they know, again, doors open, you're inviting them, they know what's going on in your facility. Another thing you could do is if you send out a business e-news or a newsletter, you know, as a Member Solutions client, if you were on the client website and went to the consulting area and looked at MA Messenger or newsletters, there's a ton of newsletter content that you have access to for free that you could use. So if you're not already producing a camera-ready hard copy newsletter or an electronic newsletter, you have the means by using some of the templates we have online. So you could certainly email them your e-news that you already have going out or your school newsletter so they stay in touch and understand what's going on in the facility all the time. If you're using our member management software, we've got the Constant Contact customized now that fits in with that software. So if you don't have an e-news, it would be pretty easy to put one together and include them on it. From time to time, you might want to send out a handwritten invitation or note. I just sort of touched base on that. So handwritten invitation, if it's a postcard that you're sending out for a special event, you know, again, just jotting a quick handwritten note across the top personally to them with their name, you know, lets them know you're thinking about them and that you actually do know who they are. So it's a very nice touch. Another thing you could do, and I call this playing dirty, but you know, invite their past classmates to invite them to the events. So if you know that John used to hang out with Mike, Mary, and Sheila, you know, why not say, "Hey, guys, have you seen so and so lately? Hey, you do. You work with them. Oh, cool. How about if you personally invite them or him to come to, you know, our belt promotion that we're having or come to our open house? I bet if you personally invite him, he might want to stop by. We'd love to see him. Tell him that." And, you know, that can do wonders. You'd be amazed at how many people will go and lasso in their past classmates if they work with them or maybe they see them through some other social events and activities that they're involved in. So that's the best way, really. I love that. You know, have them go lasso them and drag them in for you. I just touched base a moment ago on the popular ways for contacting. If you do have a business, Facebook, MySpace, et cetera, you can actually, you know, search by email or search by their name and look them up and try to get them to opt in to be your friend on your friends list for those sites. You can positively comment when you see things they've posted, photos, different things, to kind of stay in touch and in the loop of what they're doing. You can, you know, when you post your event invitations and the things that go with your site, you know, if they're in the news feed, they're going to see that. And again, it's just you want to stay in front of their face. And think about this, too. Like, if you can get them, or they're on other people's list, too. If they're on your current students' list or members' list, and you're posting something that friends of friends can see, then they may be seeing it anyway. But most people on Facebook and MySpace, they have a minimum of 50 friends that are local, friends and family members that are local, you know, live in the same area that really could be prospects for you in the future. So it's a great idea to get them on the site, get them to opt in, and then you've kind of got access to their friends list as well, you know, when you're doing some different posts and some marketing. So that can be a big plus. So consider that. Another thing you can do is send them a rejoin offer and rotate what the offer is every month, you know, or every other month, as much as you feel comfortable, but why not do it every month? If you're rotating the offer, it won't seem repetitive. So, you know, one time it can be an invitation, a special invitation to come in and have a free training session or a free class, a free private class to get them in the back into the swing of things. Another month, it might be a free month when they join. You know, another month, it could be something else. It could be free special event pass. You know, or maybe you have a guest instructor or teacher coming in, and maybe it's a free spectator's pass. So get creative, but try to devise about 10 or 12 different rejoin offers that you can use and rotate them all the time. Another thing, you know, is to hold a reunion party. A reunion party, I'm sorry. That's one of my favorite things. A reunion party for past, present members, friends, family, whoever wants to come to it. You might tie your reunion party in with food or a picnic or videos of the good old days. You know, if your business is sports related, like martial arts and fitness, or, you know, anything that's been, do the in our day war stories. You know, remember when we all went to this place together and did this? I mean, it's just a great time to communicate and touch base with each other, and, you know, it really reminds the people what they've been missing. Really reminds them what they've been missing and can motivate them to want to get back in the swing of things very, very quickly. So those are a couple of examples of why and how you may want to contact people that no longer train in your facility. So the main theme is devise a system for following up your rejoin prospects on a regular basis. It's got to be regular. You want to stay in front of their face. You know, use the 8 or so examples I gave you. Use the 5 methods I mentioned about communicating with them as your template. I'm going to give you just a really brief example of a couple things that might be in your system. So, for example, 2 weeks after they quit, it might be in my system that they get the survey by telephone. I'm just going to call them and ask, you know, and go over some of those questions I mentioned earlier and try to find out why. Maybe 2 weeks after that, I'm going to email them an invitation to one of my special events that's coming up. Maybe a month after that, I'm going to send them one of those rejoin letters with a special offer for them to participate in, you know, coming back to the school and saving money. And in the meantime, maybe I'm going to also snail mail them a hard copy of my monthly newsletter because I don't want them to miss it. So if I'm communicating with my rejoin prospects by phone, by email, you know, online, through social networking, and snail mail, chances are they're going to see at least one of the things or hear one of the things that I have going out, right? So if I communicate in all those different ways, I'm kind of touching base on about, you know, I'm doing almost everything I can other than going to their house, which is a little creepy, so don't do that. But, you know, the point is communicate with your past students in a variety of ways so that you can reach more of them. You know, the more your past members know about you, what's going on in your program, the more likely they are to return when they're ready. If they know that the door is always open, they're going to be welcomed, and you're staying in their face, chances are, even if they decide, you know, I'm not so sure if I want to train, if I am ready, they may still start referring new members to you, which is, you know, a great outcome. So I hope I've given you some different ideas into ways to improve your current rejoin system, or if you really haven't been working your rejoin prospects, to begin doing that through finding out why they quit in the first place and trying to resolve their issues, get them back in, and staying in touch all the time, trying to get them in as often as possible so that they can begin training again and reap all the benefits of your programs. So what I like to do now is I like to open up the floor for questions and answers online. First of all, I think I do have one question that I got. The question says, how do you recommend we build a sense of community for our kickboxing students? These are students who come in, take a fitness class, so they're a little different than karate students who know each other and are working on specific techniques and belts. That's a great question. One of the things I used to do in my kickboxing classes, I used to teach kickboxing, recreational kickboxing in my facility, is first of all, I made sure that everybody knew everybody's name. I made sure that each class we had something to do with a partner, even if it was for a very short period of time. I made sure that from time to time, even if we had plenty of heavy bags for everybody, some of our drills included partnering up for very short periods where You might have one partner holding on to the heavy bag to steady it while the other one's pounding it for 15 seconds in a sprint. And at the same time, that other partner is to use their name and is coaching them in a positive sense. So you might have them holding the bag and, you know, come on, Mary, you can do it. Come on, hit it, give it to me. We got 10 seconds. Come on, give me your all. And they're using each other's names. You know, they're partnering up. You can even make it a healthy competition to build community where you're like, okay, you guys are group one, you're group two, group three. I want you to count your partner's punches. I'm giving them 10 seconds to machine gun it. Let's see what group can come up with the most punches. Don't multiply by two when you count, you know. Just being silly with them. But, you know, those are a couple ways that you can build community. And you can still, you know, your kickboxing students, I would think, would still be invited to all your special events, whether it's picnics or get-togethers. So really you build the same sense, you can build community the same way that you do with martial arts students virtually. I have another question that's come in, and the question is, how do you make sure that everyone knew, how do you make sure everyone knows each other's names? Well, you have to tell them. And, you know, that's pretty much, you know, I would just at the beginning of class say, hey, everybody come over here. You know, this is Mary. Please introduce yourselves. And just stand back and, you know, shake their hands or go, hey, I'm so-and-so. And it's really that simple. You know, if you don't remember, if you don't know the new student's name yourself, you can say, hey, we've got a new student. Hey. We have someone new. Everybody, you guys all introduce yourselves. And then, of course, you're going to listen very closely and make sure you know that person's name. Chances are you already did anyway. But it can really be that easy. So they just introduce each other. I'm not sure if anybody on the web has more questions. You can type them in if you do. I'm just watching them and see if they come in. I'm going to check the phone lines. Let me unmute everybody. And if there's somebody on the phone that would like to ask a question, love to hear it. So I'm going to take us off of mute. Okay, and is there anybody on the phone that would like to ask a question about rejoins? Okay, very good. We'll jump back to the web one more time just in case. Okay, so that's, you know, I like the questions about building community because, you know, you can think about a church as a great example. You know, when you go to a church a lot of times, you know, they have dinners, they have get-togethers outside of just church services. Okay, I'm just using that as an example. But they have something for older adults. They have something for the kids. You know, sometimes they have open events for the community. And all those things give the members a chance to volunteer and help out, to participate, and so forth. So in our membership-based businesses, there's no reason we can't involve our members in our open houses. You know, if they don't want to be in a demo type of team or performing, well, that doesn't mean they might not want to be in meet and greet. You know, they might want to be at the door and welcome everybody, shake hands, and direct them on where they should go. You know, that's just one example. At a belt promotion, there's lots of parents, as you know, that would love to help tag names on belts, get things organized for you. You know, when it's a holiday event, you know, I know Halloween used to be a big thing in our school. We used to spend a day and a half putting together the scariest Halloween open house you've ever seen. And our parents really got into that. I could never do it without their help. It was just crazy. And we opened that up to the public. It was a lot of fun. But it gave everybody a sense of community. So just think about things like that. How can you involve people in a positive way, get them to work together towards a common goal, and have a good time in the process? And that helps retain members, absolutely. So if we don't have any other questions, I will go ahead and wrap it up. If you come up with questions later or you're listening to this in the teleseminar archive that's located in the consulting area on the Member Solutions website, just email consulting